This week on the Andrew and Pete Show, does Anne Hanley know her tweets? Is Chris Ducker a good dancer? And does Mark Schaefer really wish he was Kim Kardashian? Let's have a cheeky disco. It's the Andrew and Pete Show.
Welcome to the show with him, Andrew.
And him, Pete.
This is a show where your favorite marketeers battle it out to be crowned the ultimate marketing champion
of the world.
Ever. Let's get this show on the road. Marketing Tango! This week on Marketing Tango, we have the amazing, the wonderful, the delightful, the British, Chris Ducker! Woo! All right.
Hello, Gavis. You're right? How are you?
Great. So, this is how it works.
Good.
Marketing Tango, the jingle is going to play. And after the jingle ends, all you have to do is name something from the category. We're going to give you the category in a second. You will be dueling it out against Andrew here,
who is absolutely
amazing at this game, gotta say.
This is Brit versus Brit for
it
the first time.
It is Brit versus Brit.
Right, you, bring it bloody on, bring it on, come on.
For everyone you get right, you do win a point. And if you successfully win and beat Andrew, you get 5 whole points. So it's all to play for.
Are you ready to play? Yes.
Awesome. Okay.
I'm ready.
You ready, Andrew?
Hang on, you have to give us the category.
Okay, yeah. I have to give you the category first.
That would be helpful.
That would help. All right, the category is cities in the UK.
Bloody hell. We know you're coming back.
You do realise I haven't lived there for 17 years. You are aware of this fact. Okay.
We're going to brush you up on your British geography here.
All right, I'll give you a second just to think of a few.
If you lose this, you're not allowed back.
Okay, I've got a thing.
You got a handful?
Okay, let's do this.
All right, Paul. For Britain.
I'm quite looking forward to educating all the Americans listening as well that there is more than London in the UK.
Yes. Yeah.
There isn't London and not London.
But now you know why we're holding the Upreneur Summit in London. It made it so much easier to sell internationally.
Where is Bristol?
Is that in the UK? Right, okay. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1.
Newcastle.
London.
Birmingham.
Manchester.
Edinburgh.
Sheffield.
Aberdeen.
Cambridge.
Leeds.
Leeds. Brighton.
Inverness.
Plymouth.
Cardiff.
Oh, this is getting hard. Coventry.
Oh my god, it won't stop going. It's taunting me. That was tough. Okay, Chris, you are a lot back.
Well done. I'm actually quite impressed with myself. I didn't think I was going to win that one. I'm actually quite impressed.
I don't know why I went to all the Scottish cities. That's all I could get.
I don't know where the hell I got Plymouth from. I don't think I've said the word Plymouth for about 10 years.
We need to Google whether Plymouth's a city.
Yeah, you're going to win out of technique. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Chris, for playing. Bonus 5 points to you.
Score.
Marketing. Snug. Marry. Avoid.
This week on Marketing Snog, Marry, Avoid, we are joined by the fabulous Kim Garst. Kim, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. This is so much fun. Definitely the most unusual interview I've ever done.
Well, now, Kim, we're going to ask you what you would snog, marry, and avoid. So I think it's going to become even more unusual.
Yes.
Yes.
So Americans don't tend to know what snog means, but in the UK, snog is basically make out with. Okay. So... So, like, snog? Classically, the
that's
game...
a, like a really interesting word for making out.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I feel like
I don't know where this word came from, but we're bringing it to the USA.
Yeah.
Okay, snog.
Snog.
I have to ask Huffy if he wants to snog later. He'll be like, "What? No."
Yeah. He'll be like, "That sounds horrible."
Get him.
Quick snog.
Let us know how that goes.
Yeah, it'll be the only time he ever turns me down. Okay, that's TMI.
So, we're going to give you 3 marketing tools, tactics, or strategies, and all you have to do is tell us which one you would snog, i.e. use just for one day and then forget about, which one you would marry, i.e. use forever, and which one you would avoid, i.e. never use ever, ever again. And since you are amazing, Kim, on social media, we are going to give you 3 of our favorite social media marketing tools to pick from. So this might be a little bit tough.
Yeah.
So would you snog, marry, avoid, meet Edgar, Hootsuite, and manage Flitter? And why?
Okay. Manage Flitter, I would marry. Because I use it almost... I don't know if I use it every day, but certainly at least once a week. Mm-hmm. And Edgar, I would probably, what was my third, what was the third one?
Hootsuite.
Hootsuite. Hootsuite, goodness. Yeah, these are tough. Meet Edgar, I'll go back to that one. Probably do away with Meet Edgar simply because it's kind of pricey for the average business owner. It does some amazing things, but there's a couple of other tools out there that does what they do cheaper. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to probably say kick that one to the curb. Even though I know a lot of people probably like it. Hootsuite, yeah, use it for a day. There is a lot of value in Hootsuite. Depending, but again, there's so many tools out there today. I think Hootsuite has kind of gotten left behind a little bit. But yeah, definitely if I had to say one tool that I'm going to use each and every day or at least weekly, Manage Flitter.
Awesome.
So I'm going to marry that one.
And what are you doing with Manage Flitter that makes you love it so much?
I use it to grow my Twitter following. So, and manage my Twitter account, you know, make sure that those that I follow that don't follow back, you know, I can unfollow, that kind of thing. It is also great for finding targeted conversations, you know, using, searching for hashtags and keywords and key phrases, things of that nature. So I love it for a lot of reasons.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you so much for that, Kim. That was really insightful. Thank you for playing Marketing Snog, Marry, Avoid.
That was hard.
Tool, don't drool. On this week's episode of Tool, Don't Drool, we are joined by Jay Akunzo. How are you feeling, Jay?
I'm a little nervous. I wore a shirt that's too nice with a microphone that's too expensive. I don't know how this segment's going to go.
Yeah, we didn't pre-warn any of our guests, by the way, guys, what was going to happen here, so... Yeah, this is an actual reaction to this game.
Okay. It's real.
This is how Tool Don't Drool works, Jay. We're going to ask you to name your favorite tool and tell us why it is your favorite tool. All you have to do is answer that question with a mouthful of water. There is 5 points to be won and 5 points to be lost as well. If you can successfully tell us what that tool is without spitting, drooling, spraying, or swallowing, you will win the 5 points. But if you do,
can I name it? Can I name the tool?
You can name the tool.
You have to name the tool. That's the power of the game.
I thought I was just describing it. Okay, I got you.
name it and tell us why it's your favorite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Are you ready?
All right.
Yes.
Okay. Take a mouthful of water, Jay.
All right. Here we go. This is real. This is also
real water.
Water.
Or potentially alcohol.
Whoa.
Okay, good practice. Okay.
All right, Jay. What is your favorite tool and why?
I really like Evernote.
Because
I get to write all my thoughts in the right order, and then I can come back to it on mobile and also on desktop.
That's great.
I feel like everyone might be able to understand that.
I can actually tell what you said.
Oh, right, okay.
You can swallow now. Well done.
You can swallow.
Well done. Well
okay.
Done.
All right, and if you look at that, there's less water in that now. Okay.
Okay, for the people that couldn't understand you, why do you love Evernote so much?
So, yes, there's the ad hoc note-taking of Evernote, and that's very valuable, and I can sync it to desktop and mobile or mobile and desktop, which is what I just tried to say. But for me, when I make when I write a speech or I create a show, whether it's my show or for someone else, I love the framework, the structure, kind of the blueprint underneath it that enables me to tinker, right? It's like if you're writing a TV show, you have a writer's room that understands what a cold open is and all the blocks of their show that makes it their show instead of someone else's. And so there's a lot of moving pieces in these kinds of, you know, original series that I like to build. And it really does get overwhelming to put it in one scrolling doc or, you know, just keep it in my head. So I'm big on the documentation, not just on your strategy and on your channels and results and all that, but actually, like, how does this show become your own? It's a content IP, where IP doesn't stand for content I produce. In other words, it's teachable. It's intellectual property that I can kind of share with others and say, okay, I'm bringing out a contributor. Here's how we write the show. And there's just so many moving pieces that Evernote is kind of like my brain outsourced for that stuff.
That's cool.
Also,
that's cool.
We've never got into Evernote, but I feel like we really need to sit down and work out how we can use it better for ourselves.
Yeah.
I feel like there are definitely some applications.
I think just a good start for you guys, like step one, if you're interested, stop writing notes on napkins. I've seen your process before, and it's just, especially with the amount you guys eat buffalo wings, it's just, it's a nightmare.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll download Evernote.
Well done, Jay. I think that was plus 5 points as well.
Plus five points. Well done.
That shirt and microphone didn't get ruined. Thank you for playing Tool Don't Drool.
Thank you.
Tweet or no tweet?
Is it a tweet? I don't know. Is it a tweet or is it not a tweet? I don't know.
Hello, Anne Hanley, and welcome to Tweet or No Tweet. The rules of this round are simple. We're going to give you 5 tweets, and all you have to do is tell us if you actually wrote the tweets or if we just completely made them up out of thin air.
Ooh, okay.
You will get a point for everyone that you guessed correctly. Mm-hmm. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Do you feel like you know your own tweets, Anne?
I tweet myself, so I hope so.
All right, okay, so the first tweet is, boom, pizza. Is that a tweet or is that no tweet?
Man. How far back do these go?
Some of them go a long way back.
Oh. I'm feeling like yes. That was my tweet.
Got you.
You do say boom a lot on Twitter.
You do say boom a lot.
I do say boom. I know. That's why I don't remember tweeting about Twitter. I mean, about pizza. But I was like, I do say boom. It's not a 50%. Could be me.
We got into your psyche. Mm. Right. Okay.
Yeah. You're in here. All right. Yeah. I got this. All right. Okay. I get it now.
Tweet number two. God knows that poo and the bathtub don't have a great association for most parents. ..
Tweet or no tweet?
No tweet.
That was a tweet.
Are you even kidding me right now?
That wasn't even that far back. That was 14th of March, 2017.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. What was the link to?
There was no link. It was a reply to something.
It was a reply to poopy something or other. We literally just typed in like poo. I'm Hanley. See what came up. It's like, oh, we got something.
All right, I'm gonna write that down. I'm gonna fact check this after this session. Poo plus Anne Hanley.
Yeah.
All right.
Third round.
Go.
I'm stuck on my favorite fall food. .. Is red wine a food?
Oh. That's true.
You get a point.
Finally.
I think it classes right. as a food. It was grapes one day, right?
It was grapes so, one day. Yeah,
I feel like we can class
everything
that.
Everything was food. It's lunch in some places.
Yeah. Right, okay, tweet number four. Come on, we can bring this back.
Uh-huh.
All right, I'm feeling it. I'm turned it around.
Free is my favorite price. Tweet on
Tweets.
No tweet.
Tweet.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right in on with that one.
You knew that one.
Yeah. I say that a lot because it's true.
Free red wine, like.
Free red wine. Yeah. Free poo. Everything.
All right. Last one. Let's round this off.
All right.
Tweet or no tweet. The best thing about Scotland, Buckfast.
Ooh. That's definitely me.
Are you saying that's a real tweet?
That's a real tweet.
Oh!
All right, it's a real sentiment.
You thought that tweet, I'm sure.
You thought about it.
Yeah.
You didn't quite type it.
I'm pretty sure that was a fake Facebook post. Just saying.
Well, this isn't Facebook or no Facebook. So.
All right, well, okay. You captured sentiment, though. I feel like that I should get a half point for that. Because you captured a sentiment that I believe I would have tweeted that.
I think we what about should that? Get a point. I think we should get a point for being able to capture the sentiment.
What about that? Tweets. When you capture a point of view or a tone of voice, I get half a point. All right. You don't have to answer right now. Just think about it.
We'll put that one to the judge.
We'll think about it.
Yeah.
But not like, for long.
I'd like phone in the judge. I think we need to call the judge in for that one.
Mm-hmm. I feel like people don't like how good we are at making tweets up for them. Mm.
That's pretty good.
Okay, Anne, you did well. You got two well. Not too well,
right.
To be fair. You got two out of five.
Two out of five.
But thank you for playing. Tweet or no tweet.
It's 2.5. That's what I think of it. Up to you. We can talk about it later.
And now, an intermission.
This podcast is brought to you by Atomic, the membership site for the small but mighty solopreneur and business owner. With Atomic, we teach you how to be more remarkable in your industry with clever content and marketing strategies. Check it out at andrewandpete.com/Atomic.
Room 101.
Jay Bear, welcome to Room 101. This is your opportunity to banish something that's really annoying you right now. Something that's marketing, but really frustrating to you. Something that really grinds
your gears. Are British podcast hosts one of the options?
Potentially, but we might cut that one quite
potentially.
Short.
Potentially. Okay,
you might get cut.
I just don't know where to line it.
So, what would you like to put in Room 101?
You know, I think that maybe a lot of your guests may answer the same thing, but for me, it's stories. Mm. Okay, look, I know that Snapchat came along and then Facebook was threatened. They said we should add stories into Instagram. I can kind of get that as competitive. But now we've got stories on Facebook. We've got stories on Messenger. We've got stories on Excel. We've got stories like in my – it's ridiculous. We can't have stories everywhere. Nobody wants to tell stories that often. Other than Brian Fanzo, nobody in the world wants to tell that many stories, okay? It's ridiculous enough. You know who's not going to tell stories? Anybody who doesn't do this for a living, that's the answer. Stories.
It is really frustrating, so actually. You know what really frustrated me? That Facebook brought out stories for Messenger and then brought out stories for Facebook, but it's not the same story, so they want you to create one for Messenger and then for Facebook. What is the deal with that?
Why isn't the Instagram story also syndicated on Facebook and Messenger Day?
Right. I mean, you can take an Instagram photo and syndicate it to Facebook with one click, but somehow the story's got to be like a separate masterpiece, like, you know, Steven Spielberg or something. It's ridiculous.
I feel like we agree with you on this one, Jay.
I do.
Feel
good.
Like officially, stories into Room 101.
Boom. In Room 101.
Wrong Answers.
Hello, Mark Schaefer, and welcome to Wrong Answers. This is the game where we're going to be asking you quickfire questions that you should know the answer to. However, in order to score a point, you actually have to answer the question incorrectly, hence Wrong Answers. And for everyone that you answer incorrectly, you will get a point. Are we ready to go? Does that make sense?
Let's roll.
Let's roll. Right. Okay.
I am going to be timing you. Pete is going to be asking the questions.
Okay.
Go.
How many people read your blog each month?
Less than one.
Where did you meet Andrew and Pete?
Less than one.
Who do you host the Marketing Companion podcast with?
Andrew and Pete.
Do you still use MySpace?
Every day.
Is your last name really easy to spell?
No.
Do you wish you were Kim Kardashian?
It's tricky to give a wrong answer to that.
I know,
yeah.
We caught you out there.
That's a little personal. Keep and I go way back. We go way, way back.
Yeah. Childhood friend.
Well, you know, Kim and I, you know, we started on social media together, and you know, I just don't understand it, because social media is all about engagement, right? And like, she won't engage with me, and I just don't understand. And like, what's up, Kim? What's up with you?
It's weird how old friends just go into different directions.
So that one hit me hard. I do have a very interesting emotional connection there, because I've tried everything, even very spooky and creepy ways to engage with Kim Kardashian, and she just won't do it.
Just need to up your selfie game, maybe.
I just don't think she understands social media.
Yeah.
I think just better selfies. Mm-hmm. Better selfies. That would do the trick.
More fake tan.
Yeah, because, you know, I've tried things to break the internet.
Maybe we'll get into that in a bit later.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark,
for playing Wrong Answers. Now it's time for the quickest marketing tip of the week. Starring our amazing guest expert, Timmy Schmidt-Owen.
Vlog like a boss.
And that was the quickest marketing tip from our guest expert of the week.
The slow fire round.
Hello, Joe Pulitzer. Joe, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Thanks, guys. My name is Joe Pulitzer. I have been in the content marketing industry for almost 20 years now, believe it or not. Ooh. I founded the Content Marketing Institute in 2010. I've written 5 books, most recently Killing Marketing, coming out in the fall of 17. And my favorite event in the world is Content Marketing World, which is held every September in Cleveland, Ohio.
Ooh, awesome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You are a content marketing vet. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed. Yeah.
I may be the oldest. I may be the oldest person in content marketing. So set up.
That's funny. Okay.
Did you write the very first blog?
Oh yeah, that's good.
I
should have been in the Wrong Answers game. Yeah. Did you write the very first blog? All right.
Nobody read it, though, but I did write it.
Oh. You did write it, but no one read it.
You have to go to the Wayback Machine to find that one. It's very, very difficult.
All right. In the slow fire round, we get you to answer the same 3 questions that we ask everybody. But the catch is, you are not allowed to say a certain 3 words that we're going to give you in a second. If you do say those said 3 words, you lose a point.
Oh.
Every time. So,
do I lose a pint?
A point.
Or a point.
A point.
Okay. Because if I lose a pint, I'm really going to take this seriously.
That's a good. We should play for pints next time. All right.
Now, of blood.
That would take the game. Oh, yeah. What do we do? What kind of pints are we talking about?
Right?
Yeah,
right.
Talking about Guinness or what? All right.
Okay. So the 3 words that you can't say are blog, content, and video. blog, content, and video. All right? So this is going to be quite tough.
But I say those words like 1,000 times a day. So.
I know.
All right.
All right. So the first question is, what is your most shared piece of content, and why do you think that is?
See, I'm going to say the other words. Oh, right there. My most shared piece of information.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Is probably, I would probably say it was a very controversial podcast episode that Mr. Robert Rose and I put together on This Old Marketing. It was, I think that the episode was all about how people really need to move away from Facebook. Mm-hmm. And this is a couple of years ago where we basically were saying, look, Facebook owns your audience. You have no control over it. Facebook is a great advertising strategy, if you will. Mm-hmm. But for organic information sharing, not very good. It's their audience, not yours. And so we went through a couple of those things around Facebook's news, and it really took off quite a bit, not only on the CMI portal, but it...
I was thinking then, what is the CMI portal?
But on iTunes as well.
And do you think it was because of the controversial aspect of it?
Usually, the things that really take off and go viral, which I hate, even that it's like, I don't care if something goes viral, it doesn't matter, because most of the people that spread it, pay attention to it, are not our regular audience members. But generally, if you want an audience, and there's some people that you've probably talked to on your program that do things a little bit controversial to get people to share their stuff, and even if sometimes they don't believe it. Awesome. So yes, I would agree with the more controversial, the better. We have some people in the United States that are very controversial and get a lot of sharing. Not even going to go there. But yes, it worked.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to question two. That was great. Thank you.
Question number two. What is your biggest time saver when it comes to creating content?
Less is more. Okay. And when I first started creating information and delivering it to my customers... or the audience that we were targeting, I thought that we had to be everywhere where our audience was. We had to be on YouTube. We had to be on Facebook. We had to be on God help us all Snapchat, right? We had to be everywhere. And about 5 years ago, I realized that is a failed strategy. The better way to do it is really focusing on when you get started and you're trying to build an audience, one content type for the most part, audio, video. Oh, shoot.
Oh, you're doing so well.
Okay, I lose a point for that. One informational type. Is it audio? Is it...
You can use blog. You can't use video content.
It's movie pictures or textual. One platform. And what we see a lot of marketers doing is they're just taking their content. I lose another point. Their information, they're sharing it all over the place. I now hate this game. I hate both of you. Never doing this again. It is harder than you think. And then, I wish marketers would not produce so much information and thinking that it's going to help them or their audience. It usually doesn't. Less is more. It is not the amount of not amount of information that you share. It's focusing on the pain points of that audience and delivering consistently over a period of time and not being everywhere they're at. And I've lost like 4 points or something like that.
You're doing so well.
I love moving picture marketing. I feel like we should get into that quick.
Moving pictures. I'm coming up. What's video? I'm going to start drawing pictures for you or something like that. All right. I lost that game.
All right. One more question.
I'm sure Mark Schaefer lost no points with that.
No, he said he repeated the words back to us. That was the first thing Mark Schaefer did.
Three points off the bat. Yeah.
Okay, you got one more question as well. So there's still one more question to be lost here.
Oh, okay.
So what do you wish you had done sooner when it comes to content marketing?
That's easy. Develop my e-newsletter list.
Yeah.
Email subscribers, number mm-hmm. one. When I first started creating information online, didn't have an email call to action. And boy, did we miss out on building an audience. So I would absolutely say that. And still today, this was back in 2009. Still today, if you look at, look at the YouTubers, Smosh, and look what Matthew Patrick's doing, and look at all those people that are building audiences online. They're all trying, we can't focus on, YouTube's not going to save us. Facebook's not going to save us. They don't care about us. They care about their own revenue strategies, and they should. So what do we need to do? Well, we have the most control over our email. So mm-hmm. I would say that's where it took us about 18 months to really start focusing on that.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Fantastic. Okay. Well, you didn't do so bad. So, well done. You can say those words now. We'll let you get it out your system.
So I blog content. Well, the interesting is for the first question, my most viral piece of content was probably a blog post that I did. So, and it was titled "A Blog Post Is Like," and the whole blog post was a blog post is like a miniskirt. Short enough to be interesting and long enough to cover the essentials. That's probably the most viral thing I've ever created.
I need to go and check that one out.
I know. We're going to have to create more like mini skirt marketing blogs.
Mini skirt and motion picture marketing. Yeah.
I got in trouble for that one too. Some people didn't like that blog.
It's that controversial aspect.
Controversial. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Joel, where can people find out more about you and what you do?
JoePulizzi.com, all my books, all my ventures, everything like that. And then I'm fairly accessible on Twitter at Joe Pulizzi, PULIZZI on Twitter.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you so much for taking part in this slow fire round.
So dead.
Killer questions.
Hello and welcome to Killer Questions, the part of the show where you are in control of asking the questions and we get a little bit nervous because we don't know what you're going to ask.
That is a great description of this mm-hmm. segment.
So let's get the first question.
Mark from pocketvideoschool.com, working with people to DIY their video content using their smartphones. And my question is, what's the worst piece of business advice you've ever been given?
Great question there from Mark. Mark, big shout out. Absolutely love you to bits, pal. Okay, we've got some good good answers here.
I think my head went straight to something because I think I am a little bit sore about this still.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So my head went to, remember we were taking part in a workshop that was put on by quite a well-known government-funded body. And as part of this workshop, we were asked to do SMART goals, which isn't our favorite thing to do anyway. So I think I was already a little bit sore about this, mm-hmm. that they were forcing us to do these SMART goals. And the whole workshop was about international expansion. So we were looking at how we were going to reach more people overseas, other than in the UK. So they were making us do these SMART goals. And obviously, as part of the achievable and realistic part, we were putting targets down of how many people we wanted to reach overseas. So we put down a goal that was going to push us, and the guy that was actually running the workshop came around and we were telling him about what we wanted to achieve, and we were quite enthusiastic about it. And remember, he just completely shot down uh-huh. the achievable and realistic part of our SMART goal, and he got us like really questioning whether we actually had the capabilities to achieve what we said that we wanted to do. And he actually made us like lower the goal to make it more achievable. So we did, and I was thinking, oh, that's a bit annoying. And then afterwards we went home and I started to get like really wound up about this, because I was thinking, who the hell is this guy to tell me that I can't achieve that goal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think everything that we've achieved in our careers has been because we've always kind of pushed ourselves.
Exactly. This like this cheesy quote, it is a cheesy quote, but I do quite like it. And it's, if you shoot for the moon, even if you miss, you'll land amongst the stars. So even if we had this ridiculously ambitious goal, if we failed, it would still be closer to that goal than we would have been after this guy told us to lower our expectations, right? Because we're pushing ourselves, and that's the whole point. You need to push yourselves to achieve more than what you think is actually realistic.
And I think there is something to be said for if you set your expectations super high and it seems like an unattainable goal, then you almost can be unmotivated. Yes. I think that's what a lot of the business advisors say, and I think that's the point of that. You want to be motivated by your goal. But I think always pushing yourself out of your comfort zone
towards something that excites you.
Yeah, something that you're really excited about actually achieving is a lot more motivating, to us at least, than something that we know we can nail.
So, Mark, I hope that answers your question. Great question.
Yes.
I think we actually might have time for one more question.
Yeah, should we do one more?
Let's do one more question.
Hi, Peter and Andrew. It's Nicole here, Osborne from Lollipop Social. I offer marketing and social media services for ambitious entrepreneurs. What kind of questions should busy business owners ask themselves when they consider outsourcing parts of their content media marketing? I know you're a guru, so it'd be really interesting to hear your tips. Thank you very much. Have a great show. Bye.
Great question. Nicole, we love you too, but you just called us Pete and Andrew. Now, that's not even a thing.
Who are they? Who the hell are Pete and Andrew? They don't even exist.
We'll let you off though, Nicole, because we know you know that it's Andrew and Pete, really. Great question, though. What should you be thinking about when outsourcing? Do you want to take that? Should I take that? I'll take it, yeah. Because this is quite an interesting one, this, because it's something that we've been doing a lot.
Yeah.
And I think the first thing that we had to do was stop being so precious about what we actually did ourselves.
We were struggling with this for a long time, weren't we?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we're really struggling with was video editing. I thought I was amazing at video editing, and nobody could have the same potential to keep in the same jokes that we would, have the creative flair that we did, add in all the little animations that we did. But then we got introduced to a lady called Christina, and she freaking blew us out of the water. She was so much better than me.
So much better than me.
And doing this saved us like 3 or 4 hours of editing time every single week. And in that time, we can focus on growing our business, creating more content, improving our funnels, and just making more money. So essentially, this thing that was holding us back, the thing that we were most precious about, is the one thing that actually enabled us to make more money. And because we're outsourcing it, usually when you outsource stuff, it's to people that are, you know, more specialized and potentially cheaper than you doing it for the same amount of time or potentially longer, because they can do it quicker and better than you. So don't think of outsourcing as something that is costing you money, but it's something that helps you to make money because you're getting so much time back.
Mm-hmm. I think something you need to start thinking about, even if you're not thinking about outsourcing right now, but it's something you want to do in future, is start working out all the processes in your business. So I wish we had done this a little bit more before we jumped into this. What it was actually working out what we did every single week, what was taking up our time, and what steps we actually went through to complete those tasks. Because when you take on someone that you're going to outsource to, if you've already got that wrote down somewhere or recorded or documented somewhere, then it's so much easier to get the person you're outsourcing to up and running really quickly. So start processing. Don't be precious and start processing.
There we go.
Yeah.
Hope that's helped answer your questions, Mark and Nicole. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Great killer questions.
Surprise! Guest of the week.
Now it's time for our surprise special guest, and after that Gary V malarkey last week, we are delivering. I forgot about Gary V now, Pete. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. This week, we have Mr. Tim Ferriss on the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I've just got an email from him. What does it say? It says, "Dear Andrew and Pete, I've been listening to your show, and I've been enjoying it so much that I've now unfortunately run out of my 4 hours for this week.
What?
Can we reschedule?
What?
Timmy.
Damn it! Guess we'll just have to go to the scores.
And that was the end of episode 2 of the Andrew and Pete Show. Andrew, how did everybody do? What's the scores?
Okay, so we've got Amy Schmittauer at the bottom still with -5 points. Mark Schaefer does have a point on the board now. Wait. He's got 1 point. Then we have Unhandly and Joe Polizzi, Content King and Queen, with 2 points apiece. Jay Akunzo and Kim Garst with 5 points. Peg Fitzpatrick remains on 7 points. And Chris Ducker storms into the lead at the end of episode two with 12 points. But just wait till episode three, where Brian Fanzo and Jay Bear come out to play.
Really hope you've enjoyed the show, guys. Please subscribe, and because this is our very first podcast outing, we'd really, really appreciate it if you could leave us a review and a great rating in whatever app you use to listen to your podcast. It'll help us out so, so much, and it'll also help other people to find the show too.
That, guys, was
the Andrew and Pete Show.